Please open your Bibles to the book of Esther, if you would. In just a moment, we'll read a passage from this book. And remember, you got Esther, Nehemiah, and Job, and Psalm. Just work your way back. You'll come across Esther. I was asked this morning, they said, Chuck, did Jen tell you what we've been studying here? And I said, no, it's just coincidence with the lesson this morning. And if you guys studied Esther last Wednesday, I'm going to be a little scared, a little freaky. But I doubt that. But nonetheless, we're here to study from Esther. I want to thank you for, again, the opportunity to stand before you. You are a very welcoming group here. Debbie and I noticed that, and we appreciate getting to know you and love and appreciate you for many reasons. But I want to start off tonight by reading from Esther, the third chapter. And we notice here that Haman has been promoted. He was set above the princes who were with him. Now look what happens with Mordecai here, beginning in verse 2. Something rather interesting. And all the king's servants who were within the king's gate bowed in paying homage to Haman. For so the king had commanded concerning him, but Mordecai would not bow or pay homage. Then the king's servants who were within the king's gate said to Mordecai, why do you transgress the king's command? Now it happened when they spoke to him daily, he would not listen to them, that they told it to Haman to see whether Mordecai's words would stand, for Mordecai had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai did not bow or pay him homage, Haman was filled with wrath. It's a rather interesting story as you continue on in reading. But you know, when I was reading that not too long ago, something just really jumped out at me, and I think it would be beneficial for all of us. I know it was beneficial for me. Is that what we learn from this is that we are not to give away anything that belongs to God. Don't ever give away anything that belongs to God. I understand that. Now, I was trying to think of a number of different illustrations to get started off with that, but I was thinking today, because we were around lunch and people wanted to see this little wallet that Jake made and gave me, and you know, I could just see, you know, we're sitting there and Vernon takes it and says, Noah, come here, and then he says, here you go, Noah. And I'd be sitting there, that's mine. You don't have a right. I wouldn't say anything. You know, Noah, enjoy it. But the point is, it's like, that wasn't yours to give away, Vernon. Any one of us. You borrow a car from somebody, you expect to get it back, right? So, oh, no, I gave it to the guy down the street, didn't have a car. Well, wait a second. You don't have a right to give away what doesn't belong to you. We get that and we understand that clearly. And when I think about Mordecai here, there's just five lessons that just jump out at us here as we study this together tonight. And I want to encourage you to take hold of your Bibles as you follow along. You can go to Matthew 23. We're going to get there in a moment. I want to make reference, though, to Daniel chapter 3. And we all know the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Same thing. You know, they're not going to bow down. You know, God will deliver us. And even if he doesn't deliver us from this fiery furnace, we're not bowing down to you. And I like this because, you know, I'm going to say some statements here. And I remember when I preached it back home, some of the young kids kind of went, they looked at their dad. They told me after services, they went, oh, Chuck said this. Because I said it rather loud. I said things like, oh, my God. Oh, Lord. Oh, God. And the kids were like, oh, no. And I made the point. I says, you know what? We as God's people, we say those words when we're talking to God and when we're talking about God. We don't use those words lightly. We don't, you know, we don't watch the news and some kid got kidnapped. Oh, my. You know, we're not going to use words empty like that belong to God, the glory and the homage that he deserves. We're not just going to toss that aside and give it to any little thing that comes along. We're a different breed of people. We're special because we're just like Mordecai here. We're not going to give away what belongs to God. And, you know, Jesus brought that up in Matthew 23. Remember this in verse 6? They loved the best places at the feast, the best seats in the synagogues, greeting in the marketplace, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, which is Christ, and your brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven. You know, many times when I sit down and study with people, they'll say, what do I call you? Chuck. No, don't go by reverend or anything. Why would you give something to a man that belongs to God? You know, and too often people are free with that. They're just free to give away that's sacred to God and that belongs to Him. You think about that. You know, it's, what's this, you know? Well, there's value. But I mean, the point is, when we think about what belongs to God, the value of that, you can put a price on that. And so there have been times when I helped my brother out when he got married. Got married in a religious group, and there's this guy there with this robe, and he wanted me, you know, everybody addressed him as father. And I'm saying, yeah, what's your name? Bill? Harry? Fred? What is it? You know, because I'm not, Jesus did it right here. We're not going to elevate some man. We kind of ties in the morning lesson, right? Because the church belongs to Christ, and that's why we don't try to convert people to the church. Who does that? We're not trying to convert people to the church. There's no such thing as Church of Christ doctrine. There's the doctrine of Christ. And, you know, we're not trying to convert them to the church because we're trying to people to become a Christian, not a churchian, a Christian. It's all about giving glory to the Lord. And you have to admire somebody like Mordecai. He says, you know what? I'm giving glory. I'm not going to bow down to you. I'm going to give glory to God when the opportunity is there, and I'm not going to give it to you. And to me, I need to be mindful of that. Because it isn't so much the danger of elevating man. My point is just let's not give it away. It's for Him. So you want to say, oh Lord, oh God, oh my God? You know, people will shorten those letters and they'll send an email like that. And folks, it belongs to God. Well, let's move on from there. And you might want to be turning to Matthew chapter 5. This is a great one. And I think that when we think of Esther here, the story in Esther, I think of with Mordecai, you know what he wasn't willing to give away? He wasn't willing to give his service to God away. I'm just not going to give that up. That's why our service to God away from here is still service to God. You know, you say goodbye, good night, see you later. So, you know, you're going home, right? You know, we're going to go get pizza. But anyways, but the point is, we're going to leave. But we behave ourselves when we leave here, don't we? Well, we're still serving God. It's all the time. It's not like Mordecai's like, okay, I'll go ahead and bow, you know, but I know I'll do this later on for God, and everything's going to be fine. It kind of reminded me of Naaman. A little tangent here, I'll come back. Remember Naaman, you know, healed of leprosy? And then he asked the prophet, you know, well, you know, if my king wants me to bow down, can I do it? He said, go on, do it. You see to it, is what he said. You know, people are looking for excuses to not being faithful, to putting God first at all times. And so our service to God is constant. And, you know, that Matthew chapter 5 text, familiar to all of us, I love it because it fits in here. He says, because you are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Don't throw away your service to somebody else, is what he's saying. It's then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You're the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill and cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men so that they see your good works. Yeah, you got to read more than that. So they can see your good works, because they can see you're a great person. It's all about you. No. And that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. So when you go to work tomorrow, get up. You're serving God. You're serving God tomorrow. Don't give it away. Don't do things that you shouldn't do. You know, when it comes to the kind of lives that we live, we're mindful of the things that we say, things that we think, things that we do, things that we don't do. You know, how can we not read Romans chapter 12, verse 1? He said, beseech you therefore, brethren. Somebody told me after service this morning, you do talk fast. Let me slow down a little bit. I'll just breathe. By the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable what? Service. Service. Mordecai, I'm not going to give up my service for God. I am not going to bow down to you. You know, so when someone wants me to compromise my example, not worship my God, don't do it. You know, they're just like, Chuck, you don't need to do that. Well, it's hard for me. You know, they think it's my job. Well, kind of. But the point is, let's pretend I'm just one of the members. I am one of the members. But you get the point. It's confusing. Illustration. I should use somebody else. Dale. Okay. All right. You know, you have this idea where somebody will say, why are you going tonight? You went this morning. What are you going Wednesday for? Now, we understand Wednesdays. You know, we lived in Toronto. It was difficult. People get off work, fight in traffic. You sit there for an hour and a half. It's just not going to work. I get it. And there are times when people can't. But that's different from people who don't want to, or people are looking for an excuse not to. And we're not like that as God's people, are we? Because we're like Mordecai. You know, our service to God, it's there. Nothing is going to take that away. We're not going to allow anybody to influence us because my service to God is priority. I know where I'm going to be. You know, it's like, I know where you're going to be Wednesday. I know where you're going to be next Sunday. You do it. It's just natural. You just know where you're going to be. When you're on vacation somewhere, I just know you're going to seek out a place to worship. You're just going to be there. That's what you do. You're serving God at all times. But you know what? This service to God in the passage that we just read, I think it goes a little bit deeper than that as we turn to Matthew 26. Because one of the strongest tools that you and I have as far as letting our light shine and trying to help people to go to heaven and help ourselves stay on the straight and narrow is that we are not going to give away. You think about this for a moment. We're just not going to give away our example. This righteous example that you have been working on for years. I remember years ago, one of the sisters I was visiting, she was older, but she said to me one time, she said, Chuck, some friends, family members are planning a surprise party for me. Do you think it's okay if I skip services? I'll never forget that. And I says, you know what? They just want you to do that once. Because what happens then is, now the door is open. Hey, you did it once, you can do it again. They just try to get you to destroy that example that you have been working on for years. Now, for you and I, we're not perfect, and we've done things in the past. We've asked God to forgive us. We can rise above that. I know we can because of what we have here in Matthew 26, and so I'm not trying to beat you down. I realize that we all sin, and if I told you right now I don't sin, I'm a liar. 1 John says I'd be a liar. I'm not perfect. But I want to look at it in terms of Mordecai here saying, I just don't want to give it away. I don't want to give away my righteous example just to please this person over here, these people. I don't want to give away this example that I've been working at. And when I have, I need to work hard at getting it back. Remember Matthew 26? Let's pick it up here in verse. I'm not going to read all of it, so let's just go to near the end of the story here with Peter denying the Lord. How about 69 of 26? Now Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while, those who stood by came to him and said to Peter, surely you also are one of them because your speech betrays you. And he began to curse and swear, saying, I do not know the man. And immediately a rooster crowed. Here's the key verse. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord who had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Then he went out and what? He went out and wept bitterly. What do you think he wept bitterly about? I'm thinking there's a lot of things that could have upset Peter here. A lot of things. The fact that he told the Lord he wouldn't, then he did. Felt bad for denying the Lord. But imagine trying to teach those people that he just denied the Lord to. Oh, by the way, I made a mistake yesterday. I was with him, and you need to follow him too. Oh, yeah, right. Like you? You know, we all feel bad for being inconsistent, right? And I can sympathize, identify with Peter here because it cuts us to the heart. I know you and I are the same as brothers and sisters. You know what we don't enjoy doing? We do it, but we don't enjoy it. is we have to go to our God and say, God, I am sorry for my sins. Do you enjoy that? Do you enjoy telling God that you have fallen short? No, there's no joy in that. I'm thankful that we can have the forgiveness of sin, and we will do that, and we will try not to do it again, and we will try to become better. Like I've said, you're not going to become sinless, but I tell you what, as God's people, we better sin less. We don't sin more. We get stronger as we go along. Don't ruin it. Don't destroy that example that you've been working at. Because people are going to try and work on you constantly, which, by the way, what did we read here? I'm in Esther. When Mordecai would not do it, it said in verse 4, now it happened when they spoke to him daily, he would not listen to them. Worked on them constantly. They just never let up. They just don't let up. I tell a lot of people this when I'm preaching on the subject of drinking. I'll go home and visit my family. Lord willing, I'll go home and see my mom this summer. And when the family comes in, for 30-some years, you know what they're going to say? Want a beer? For 30 years. How many times do I have to say no? How many times? It's just going to keep, they're going to keep working at you, keep working at you, keep working at you. Why? Because if you do it, then you're going to make us feel comfortable in our unrighteousness. Because I don't want to give away what belongs to God. I don't want to give an example, a righteous example, that I'm trying to set. And we all know that we fall short in a lot of areas. You know, you think of parenting, come up short a few times. Do you ever have to tell your children, I'm sorry, I overreacted? Yeah. You know, I remember Deb, you can't ground Jen for 2 months. Okay. Really, I'm sorry. We're not perfect parents. We're not. We're not perfect people. But we have somebody perfect to try to imitate. And Peter talked about that. We try to follow the steps of Jesus. Matthew chapter 6. I know we can quote this. Try to help somebody to do right when we compromise, it's not going to work. But seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness is the key. You have those in Romans chapter 2, and well, I'll just read the first 3 verses there, just give you that contrast. You know, here we are, seek God, put Him first, that's what it's all about. Provide that proper example, but then you have this kind of thinking. Romans 2 verse 1 says, therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge. From whatever you judge another, you condemn yourselves, for you who judge practice the same thing. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do not think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God. Think about it. Jesus talked about that. You know, you want to remove the speck out of your brother's eye, remove the beam out of your own eye first, and then you can see clearly enough to help them. We want to be useful in the kingdom, folks. And I'm just coming right out and telling us all, including myself here, don't give away your service to God. Don't give away your righteous example. And here's a big one. You guys know over in the book of Hebrews, go to the 11th chapter, great book for great men of faith to learn how to walk by faith. You know why Mordecai did not bow? You know why we wouldn't bow? If we were in that situation, hopefully we wouldn't. It's because we don't want to give away God's approval. We don't want to lose that. You guys ever get that lecture from Dad? I'm ashamed of you. Just hit me, I'll feel better. But just to say, I'm ashamed of you. I don't want that. And if we know that God approves of us, man, well, who wants to put that in jeopardy? Who wants to throw that away? Who wants to just give that away? You go ahead and do something, you bow down to that man, you go ahead and transgress in any way, you know, you're giving away God's approval. Doesn't that mean anything to you? It means a lot to us, doesn't it, that people are proud of you? How do you feel when somebody, you guys remember, right? I don't know if it's a guy thing, maybe a girl thing too, but I remember you. I'm proud of you, son. Great. I love that. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to what? Please him. I want to please him. I like, you know, what the Father said about Jesus. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I want God to be pleased with all of us. I want God to say, I'm thankful. I'm just happy that you worship me in spirit and in truth today. You were here because you wanted to be here. And you can't wait to come back and do it again, but you're going to take me with you. You're going to be dedicated in your service this week in your example. Why? Because you're not going to give away what belongs to me. It belongs to me. And you're not going to give it away because you belong to me. How sweet is that? We don't want to jeopardize that. God approves of me. How our young people are tempted to give in to peer pressure when they say, come on, just do it. Well, I don't think mom and dad will like it. Oh, don't worry about them. See, their point is, they're trying to pressure you to forget. Don't think about what mom and dad will think. We as God's people constantly are mindful of what God would think. The opposite of that is John 12. He says in verse 42. John 12 and 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They loved the praise of man more than the praise of God. They loved the praise of man more than the praise of God. We're not that. We want to praise God, we want to love God, and we want God to be pleased with our lives. You're here tonight. That's great. But a couple weeks ago, when we were going through some of the letters to the churches of Asia in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, talking about the brethren who are lukewarm, I pointed out to the brethren when we studied that, I said, you know, it's interesting that he writes this letter to them. Did they think that they were present? Yeah. That they would gather to hear it? See, these are not people that have quit worshiping. These are not people that quit coming together. He wrote the letter, expected that they'd all would be hearing it, but there are those who are just lukewarm. You're not hot and you're not cold. If you're cold, you've got something to work with, but you're lukewarm. That is so dangerous, isn't it? It's so dangerous being lukewarm. But he wants us to be on fire. But these were people that were still worshiping God, and they got into this idea of thinking that everything is okay because I haven't abandoned the Lord. But wait a second. When we talk about God's approval, that we're on this point with Mordecai, in Esther here, chapter 3, is it, Mordecai, that's a small moment in your life. Does God really care? He does. Tomorrow, Lord willing, or in a week from now, as God blesses us with time, you'll be presented with temptations. We all are. Temptation isn't sin, right? James chapter 1. Count all joy when you fall into various trials and temptation. We can resist them to become stronger. So the temptation isn't bad. So you're going to face temptation. We all will. That's one of the points we could have talked about this morning, about being a close family. We could have added in that about the idea that every one of us here can identify with the struggles. Because we're all being tempted. We all have those tough times in our lives. And you're going through, and so we can sympathize with each other. Yes, Jesus was tempted in all points with us, as us, but yet without sin. And so when I think about Jesus being understanding, Jesus is not understanding when it comes to transgression. He's understanding when he talks about temptation. I get that. I get, you know, when you feel alone. I get when you're going to face hardships. In the garden, what's he praying, right? Jesus understands what it's like to go through that kind of hardship and have people betray you, turn their back, deny you three times. Those who have been with you. Jesus understands that. But the giving in? And so we don't make excuses. We're not to make excuses for it. And if I do something wrong, Dale, if you happen to be around me, if I do something that's sinful, don't put your arm around me and say, hey, I understand we all do bad things. Just say, Chuck, repent. Say, you need to repent. That's what I need to hear. Because when it comes to our service to God, we are here for Him, and don't lose sight of that. Yeah, some people are here and want the praise of men. And Mordecai and people like you and me, you know what? We are not going to give away. We're not going to give away God's approval. That's serious business to us. And so we're going to try to guard our thoughts. And so when the TV, something's coming on, turn that off. That's not good. We control that. All right. Matthew chapter 10. This one I want to spend more time than the others. This point could have been the first one. They're all kind of could have been spin-off points from this one. What is dedication? Think about that for a moment. What is dedication? See, Mordecai was an individual that didn't want to give away his love for God. Husbands and wives. You ever have somebody flirt with you they have no right to do? I'm not giving away my love to you that belongs to my wife. I'm not giving my love to you that belongs to my husband. I'm not going to do that. I have taught in meetings a serious lesson when I talk about this kind of stuff. I talk about when I was in Nebraska. And I was warned before I moved there. Watch out. What, there's somebody there that got the preacher in trouble, the previous preacher. So when I went to services and I met this person, the sister grabbed my hand. She says, oh, so nice to have you here. We're glad you moved here. She wouldn't let go of my hand. We're really glad you're here. Let go of my hand. You don't want to give away what belongs to somebody else. We get that, right? And when we talk about our love for God, that we just, I asked you to turn to Matthew chapter 10. We know 37, right? Well, back up a little bit more. Let's get this context. Verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have set a man against his father, daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. God is priority. One of the strongest tools that Satan has is he'll use your family. Ah, Dad, look at the sun's out. Do we really have to go? Let's go fishing. Come on. They're biting. I think there's water around here somewhere. But the point is, let's go. Okay, just once. Not at all. Because the child's going to know the love of God. What about if a mate says, let's not go tonight. You know what's on TV tonight, don't you? Honey, I love you. But I love God more. Come with me. But if not, I'm going alone. Who does that? People like Mordecai. People who say that, you know what, I'm not going to give away my love for God. I'm not going to do it. Now that 1 Peter, again, a great text. 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's pick it up in verse 3. 4, excuse me. 1 Peter chapter 4. And in verse 3. He says, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in licentiousness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking, parties, and abominable idolatries. I love that passage because it deals with three classifications of drinking. Everything from the falling down drunk to the guy who drinks enough, he's the life of the party, and to the person who's just the social drinker. But he said in verse 4, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking of evil you. Evil of you. Who cares? I don't care what they think. I care what God. I love God. You know, could you imagine a guy who just gets married? He's young. I mean, you know, he hasn't been married too long, you know, and you go through that stage of realizing that you're not single anymore. His buddies call him up and say, come on, we're heading out, going out of town. You know, we're going golf for the weekend. Let's just go. Well, no, I better stay home. Smart. He goes, no. You know, that pulling away. And they'll just think it's strange that you do certain things differently now. And we as God's people, you know what? We do a lot of things that the world thinks just strange. You're going to church services when the Super Bowl's on? Yeah. I just think that's kind of odd. You know, just different things that you will do, that you will forego because of responsibilities. We're talking about that today around the lunch table. Vern and I said, what do you guys do? Well, we raise the kids. What do you do for fun? Well, I remember those days. Three little ones. Didn't have much time to go and do stuff. Why would I want to? There's a lot of stuff here that needs to get done. Being a dad. Being a mom. And there are times when the world is pulling you away and it says, you know what? You need to still be you. No. It's us now. You're joined together, husband and wife. And when I think about the love that we are to have for God, we have so many people today are trying to take away that dedication that we have for Him. And brethren, we need to get tough about this, just like you do with your marriage. And it ties into the morning lesson as we're winding down here, and we're just about through. You've been very patient. Think about the marriage, the church, Christ, okay? Your wife. We talked about how much she should mean to you. What you would do for her. How many preachers have you heard say, look, you want your wife to treat you like a king? Treat her like a queen. You know, the whole idea is just letting her know how much you appreciate her. Right? You give her that confidence. Do your mates have that kind of confidence of knowing that when you're not together, though they're faithful to you? Do you have that kind of confidence in each other? And I want to ask you this before you leave here tonight. Does God look at you the way God told Satan about Job? Have you considered Him? Have you? And would He say that about you? Go ahead and tempt Him with somebody else. Now, He's got His guard up. Go ahead. Have that secretary flirt with Him. He's going to just say, no. He's got His guard up. Because He's focused on His priorities. Because we put God first. And it shows in our families. We talked about this morning. You love God. Husbands and wives, you put God first in your life. You've got a marriage that will last. You do. God is the answer. So, let me close by asking you, have you ever given away that which belongs to God? Have you? I'll tell you this much. He wants it back. You don't have a right to do that. You belong to Me. So come back to Me. If you're not a Christian, you need to come back to Him. It's called redemption, to be redeemed. That's the most powerful point we ever preach, to expose the idea of once saved, always saved. You know, if a person thinks this, not once saved, always saved, you're born in sin. You're born depraved. It combats that, because if a person thinks that you're born depraved, born in sin, you can't help but not sin. That's just the way you were made. You're born in sin because you inherited the sin of Adam. Well, how can you be redeemed by the blood of Christ? Because to be redeemed, you need to come back. To be bought back. How can you come back from a place you've never been? You say, huh? You know, Ryan said, I just got back from L.A. Wow, what was it like? Where? L.A. Never been. You can't come back from a place you've never been. And so, if you're not a Christian, guess what? There was a time in your life you were right with God. You came into this world perfect, sinless. And as you grew older, you were faced with temptation. Adam and Eve sinned under the best of situations. We got the worst today. How easy it is to sin. No misunderstanding. But you need to come back to God. Be His child. If you're a child of God that's gone wayward, you need to come back to Him. You need to be restored, as James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20 says. Wandered away, you need to come back on His terms. And basically what we talked about today, anybody that has fallen away, anybody that hasn't obeyed the gospel, those are the ones who have given away which didn't belong to them. They had no right to do that. Serve Him, put Him first, love Him, give homage to God. And if you're a faithful child of God, continue on, press forward. Be faithful till death, and heaven will be yours. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song announced.